Thank you for being with us today here at the Covenant of Grace Prayer Line. This is Reverend Vossen, and I'm so glad that I can be with you today and share God's Word here in another devotion that we're having in the book of Ecclesiastes. I had a great time doing the culmination or finality of our study with you that we were working with in some of our neighborhood Bible study groups with the book of Job. And now in our new study and series with the book of Ecclesiastes, we're getting into some new subject matter and learning some great things about life and how God's Word applies to it. Now turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be talking about exploring God's timing, or the teacher's reflection upon life and God. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Time has its limitations. Time has its variables. Time gives us opportunity. Time is always at work in our lives in some way, shape, and form. Whether it's the years we have to live or the 24-hour day period, whatever it might be. And so it's within that vacuum that we kind of live and have our existence. Time can either be a blessing or a curse. But in time, there is always a place and season. And just because it doesn't always work out perfectly in one singular period of time, it doesn't mean that it's the end. And many times there can be another opportunity under heaven to see the work and the will of God be done. Solomon had already lamented how life was meaningless when viewed apart from God. He described how life occurred in a vicious cycle, repeating itself again and again. Now he was ready to take another look at living and dying, this time seeing some semblance of order and meaning because of God's dominion. Solomon discovered that there is a season for every activity under heaven. That's verse 1. God has ordained a time for everything practically. Our responsibility is to seek the Lord's wisdom so that we may discern what activities go with what seasons. For everything, there's a time and season, and we need to discern the times and in our hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit, be able to know when we are to plant and when we are to sow and when we are to invest in life in some particular way and fashion. With our talents, with whatever we might possess, etc. Our Lord's responsibility is to seek and minister to us and to reach out to us in a capacity of which we can find ourselves receiving his godly understanding. And with his understanding, we can then apply the wisdom of God and to work out the things that we need to daily in our lives in a semblance with the time given us for an appropriate response or an appropriate accumulation or accommodation considering what we have need of in life and what the lessons are we are to learn. Verses 2 through 8 list many of the activities that there are under heaven. We find here 14 pairs of opposites. 14 pairs of opposites. In Hebrew speech, mentioning opposites together expresses totality. For example, heaven and earth stands for all of the physical and spiritual reality. Thus, these 14 pairs stand for all the activities of life. And you'll see them here in chapter 3, if you'll read it and study it out. A time to be born and a time to die. Verse 2. The teacher opened his list of the activities of life with the most momentous events of life, birth and death. In Solomon's view, God has a plan for our arrival in time, for living out our lives, and for our departure from life. To everything is a time and season. Patience is the most important thing you must learn in life, but also to be alert to when it is time to do the will of God and to look at a certain situation and to apply those things and the giftings God has given you for his glory. The teacher had already portrayed how brief a person's lifespan was in the early portions of scripture we mentioned. Here he kind of does it again as he sums up life in its beginning and end. The rest of this poem addresses what comes between birth and death, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. verses 2 and 3. These three lines of the poem address creative and destructive activities used for either establishing or undermining. Planting seeds and pulling weeds must be done in our life as we reap the harvest of life. The same is true of life itself in so many ways. As we look at things through planting, pulling, pruning, caring, and mastering the management of life. Some elements must be planted and others uprooted. Because sometimes the weeds of life can choke out the things that we have need of and the nourishment that God wants us to have through His Word, through His Spirit, in the natural man, and other capacities of our everyday life. By saying there is a time to kill, Solomon was not condoning premeditated murder. His point was something more complex than that. Perhaps he was suggesting that we must wrestle for God's wisdom during times when we too are confronted with aggression. For instance, when is the right time to resist evil with forcefulness? On the other hand, when is the time to seek reconciliation and healing? Of course, there are also times when those who seek to fear or are fearful need to learn to obey God and learn that in trusting Him, the fear can be dissuaded and their personal lives can no longer walk in that, but walk in the productivity of peace. In that sense, tearing down the old things and tearing down and getting rid of that negatory thought of fear and trepidation works to help your life in removing the weeds of doubt. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. That's in verse 4. The teacher here covers a range of human emotions, both private and public. In these two lines of the poem, the Hebrew words translated weep and laugh indicate expressions of an individual's emotions, while the words translated mourn and dance indicate expressions of a group's emotions in other ways. In other words, there is a time for a human or individual to be sad and a time for that person to be happy. There's no perpetually being happy or perpetually being sad. There's also a time for an individual to join with others in lamenting and loss. There's a healing process that takes place. And a time for that person to join with others in the good times in celebration of life. Verse 5, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain. Various interpretations exist of these two lines of the poem, which focuses on friendship and enmity. In ancient times, fields taken by enemies were made unproductive by scattering stones across them. On the other hand, stones were gathered from fields as a sign of people's desire for peace. An opposite interpretation points to the gathering of stones for use in a building or a building of a wall to keep out invaders. Tearing down those stone walls indicated a people's desire to make peace with their enemies. According to one's interpretation, or someone's interpretation that I read a little while ago, a time to embrace is to call for us to hold someone who's experiencing pain, grief, or reconciliation. And yet at other times, it is best for us to respect a person's privacy and not to interfere. A second, more literal interpretation that I found places the teacher's advice in the context of love and its physical expression between a husband and wife. Thus, there is a time to show affection and a time to refrain from showing affection. Verse 6 and 7. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. At least a portion of our lives consists of our concern for accumulating or getting rid of possessions. According to the teacher, God gives us special times when we must search out for things, friendships, and goals, and hold on to them when we acquire them. But there are other times when He calls us to give these up. Ask yourself, what might God have me seek out or give up? That's a question we need to think of sometimes. The tearing and mending that most likely occurs or is referred to in ancient custom in this passage of Scripture is tearing of one's clothes in grief. If so, this line restates verse 4 in that it shows there is a time to express grief and a time to recover from grief, a time to be silent and a time to speak is next. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Communication. What a big part of our society. A key part in our human existence. But it's a two-way street. Thus Solomon said there is a time to remain quiet or silent, and a time to voice our opinion, a time to listen, and a time to remark. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. Human life can hardly resemble what it is supposed to be without affections. The teacher realized our lives will be marked with both love and hatred, and he encouraged his hearers to be careful about the times. Both are exercised. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul stressed that Christians should love what is good and hate what is evil. Romans 12, verse 9. Here's a question for you, another one like our previous one. Do I sometimes love that which I should hate and hate that which I should love? I want you to write those two questions down on a piece of paper and think about them the next day that I've mentioned so far. One was, what might God have me seek out or give up? And then two, do I sometimes love that which I should hate and hate that which I should love? A time for war and a time for peace. That's going to be our next equation that we're going to look at and see how it works out in the parameters of life. But before we do, I want you to know that hatred has such a debilitating effect. And yet, hatred has to be there in some sense to put aside or refute the world and some of the things that try to lay hold of us, and to take hold of the love of God and those things which we are supposed to cherish and maintain. So having a disgust for some things in this world is not wrong. But having a love and affection and ministering to one another in the greater good is such an ultimate desire. I want to relate that because as we consider love and hate, it perfectly dovetails into the fabric of the understanding of looking at verse 8 when it talks about a time of war and a time of peace. Because love and peace can so many times be enjoined together, and war so many times is done out of hatred rather than in response of just there being a bully or something. Many wars have been fought that have no business to have ever been fought and have elicited such hatred for generations and generations because of its outcome. But love casts out fear. Peace that passes understanding can keep us in the Lord and also keep our generation and our nations from fighting one another. But sometimes we don't get that peace with understanding one another, and so we find ourselves in bitter hatred and war. As King Solomon did not leave out the political endeavors of his hearers, the same emotions that can give rise to love or hatred in two individuals can give rise to war or peace in two communities. Conflicts will always arise. We see it every day. Sometimes wrong is resisted with force. At other times, peace is the goal. Blessed is the peacemakers. I'm going to stop at this point because in our world we live in right now, I see so many people not choosing peace and understanding nations. And even in relationships, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to run away. But there's a painful side to that coin. If we have not first sought reconciliation, restoration, and peace, the love of God can cast out fear, and the love of God can just blow away those senses within us that feel inequity, hurt, pain, etc., that comes from relations that are hurting or factions in lives, political parties, etc. There needs to be a sense of order and peace in our generation that finds itself with a fresh revelation within our culture so that we step back a while and refrain and quit choosing to shoot a bomb, get a weapon, or lash out at somebody, or be vicious, would rather be like a snake in an adder rather than a patient individual standing back, not coiling to strike, but desiring to pray. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And many times, like I mentioned previously, when we learn the word pause in our life and take time to take inventory, even if it's just for a few moments, it can change the destiny of our lives. How many people have you seen their lives invariably destroyed because of a lack of discretion or hatred, a fit of anger, where they didn't take that pause seriously, choose to refrain and gain peace and understanding and see things more clearly? If we could but just do so today. Instead, too often, we stoke the fires of hate. We stoke the fires of hatred in so many ways. And we try to find ways to escape that are contrary to the things of God. Or we think that destroying something is better than dealing with something. Peace and understanding. Pause. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these many beautiful truths that have come to light, simple things to look back at in our lives that have come out to be brought into our heart's view and mind's eyes through the book of Ecclesiastes, to give us a picture of life in its simplicity, but also in its audacity, looking at it as we do in reflection and hope, and saying to ourselves, hey, but with God, all things are possible through them who trust in Him. And yet, a lack of hope, a lack of indiscretion, a lack of pause and introspection can so much so harm us in our lives. We need to look at the times and the seasons and redeem them, as the scripture says, and make them profitable ones, even as we would our daily schedules to accomplish that which we set out to do. Help us, Father, to do so in our homes, in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, in our city, in our towns, in our nation, with our political leaders, etc. Let's give love an opportunity, a chance, peace and understanding, and turn aside from the baser elements and consider Jesus, who's come to give us life and that more abundantly. And He didn't come to condemn, but to rebuild our lives, to help us, to give us hope. Today, O Lord, I pray that many will find that hope in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today on the prayer line. I pray that God's Word is making a difference in your lives every day, and that our time together is a blessing to you. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.